On September 11, 2001, a handful of terrorists linked to the Islamic Al-Qaeda movement produced the single deadliest terrorist action to date in their attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City and the Pentagon outside Washington, D.C. The attack had many of the earmarks of classical terrorism, a small group with extremely limited means, using the technology of the United States at their disposal, was able to strike with maximum effect. Here was the familiar asymmetry of forces in which smallness becomes an asset, being inconspicuous within the larger population and accordingly quite difficult to detect. The terror of the event itself set in motion a panic-like reaction from which the United States has still not fully recovered. The drama and symbolism of the Twin Towers themselves, not to mention the Pentagon, created a grotesquely compelling spectacle that gave the terrorists maximum exposure while incisively demonstrating the vulnerability of the United States, often described in recent years as the world's only remaining superpower. There were those around the world who had never imagined that America could be so quickly and seriously harmed, but were delighted to find they were wrong. Many deny that 9/11 was a new form of terrorism. It simply distinguished itself, they say, by the number of its victims. The change was quantitative, not qualitative. And, as in classical terrorism, these analysts continue, Al-Qaeda is ultimately doomed to failure. The U.S. counterattack on Afghanistan destroyed their operational base, and they are now the targets of the unbending will of the American government, whose invasion of Iraq was a stage in a grand strategy to rid the regime of terrorism in general. But there is another way to look at the attack, keeping in mind the chain reaction that is always the terrorist's goal. The full economic impact of 9/11 is hard to measure, but the ripple effect of the attack is by any standard immense and undeniable. Substantial increases in security costs, including the funding of new government programs for that purpose. Enormous military expenditures on the invasions of two separate nations. A depressive effect on the stock market, always particularly susceptible to the psychology of panic. And the consequent injury to consumer confidence. Hits on specific industries, such as travel and tourism. And the reverberating effect of all these on the global economy. The attack also had tremendous political effects. In fact, the American elections of 2002 and 2004 were arguably determined by it. And as the chain reaction has continued to play out, a growing rift has emerged between the United States and its European allies. Terrorism often implicitly aims to create such splits in alliances and in public opinion as well, where hawks and doves line up. September 11th has also had a definite and obvious impact on the American way of life, leading directly to a curtailment of the civil liberties that are the distinguishing mark of our country. Finally, though this is impossible to measure, it has had a depressive and chilling effect on the culture at large. Perhaps the strategists of Al-Qaeda neither intended all this nor even imagined it. We will never know. But terrorism is, by its nature, a throw of the dice, and the terrorist always hopes for the maximum effect, creating as much chaos, uncertainty, and panic as possible is the whole idea. In this sense, the 9/11 attack must be considered a success to such an extent that it does indeed represent a qualitative leap in terrorism's virulence. It may not have been as physically destructive as the explosion of a nuclear or biological weapon could be, but over time, its reverberating power has far surpassed that of any terror attack before it. And this power comes from the altered nature of the world. Given the deep interconnections of the new global scene, whether commercial, political, or cultural, a powerful attack at a single point can have a chain reactive effect that terrorists of earlier years could never have imagined. A system of interconnected markets that thrives on open borders and networks is intensely vulnerable to this intense ripple effect. The kind of panic that once might stir in a crowd or through a city can now spread over the world, fed spectacularly by the media. To consider the 9/11 attack a failure because it did not achieve al-Qaeda's ultimate goal of pushing the United States out of the Middle East or spurring a pan-Islamic revolution is to misread their strategy and to judge them by the standards of conventional warfare. Terrorists quite often have a large goal, but they know that the chances of reaching it in one blow are fairly negligible. They just do what they can to start off their chain reaction. Their enemy is the status quo, and their success can be measured by the impact of their actions as it plays out over the years.